Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, is author of our Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life.
Wake, awake, for night is flying. The watchmen on the heights are crying. Awake, Jerusalem, arise. Midnight is a welcome voice.
Stanza of the hymn, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. It's a hymn that is based upon a famous parable that Jesus told of the 10 virgins. And he tells us at the outset that the difference between them is that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And their foolhardiness shows itself in their lack of preparation for even the most basic idea that the bridegroom might take his time coming. All fall asleep. But then when they wake, some are ready and others are not. And some are let in and others are shut out. It's a picture, of course, of Christ's return and Judgment Day. But there's so much more there. And it is, in a lot of ways, the parable par excellence of Jesus' return. It's the way that the church is depicted, waiting for Christ's return. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our Pastor's Roundtable for the remainder of this hour on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 20th. We'd like your questions and your comments on Matthew 25, the first 13 verses, the parable of the 10 virgins. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. The listener with the best question or comment on the parable of the 10 virgins will receive the Lutheran Study Bible. 1-877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or leave that question at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Kirk Clayton joins us here in the studio. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Muscoota, Illinois. Kirk, welcome back.
Thanks. It's always a joy to be with you here.
And on the phone from Paris, Illinois, where he's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church, Pastor Ryan Fairman. Ryan, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you for inviting me.
Kirk, this is a repeated theme that really comes to its kind of peak here in this parable, that Jesus talks about the last day or his return in terms of some get let in, wherever that place in is, and some get shut out. Why is that kind of Jesus' primary picture of what the judgment is going to look like?
Well, I'm tempted to say because that's the way it's going to be, and he doesn't want there to be surprises or for people to be able to say, well, you never told us that some would not get in. No, Jesus makes it very clear that there are some that will be saved and not others. Now, that, of course, is the great mystery of the Christian church as to how that works, as to why some particular are saved and others are not. And I think we see some hints to that here in the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, if we might boldly barge in where sometimes angels dare to fear to tread. But we have 10 bridesmaids. 5, shall we say, make it into the wedding hall or into eternity or eternal life. 5 don't. But I think we need to start by understanding, how does one get to be a bridesmaid in the first place? We hear in Matthew chapter 25, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. And we, in our American 21st century mind, tend to even think, oh, let's just join the parade here and we'll just invite ourselves along. We'll choose to go along with Jesus and choose to follow in the procession for the wedding. But if you've been to a wedding, you know that's not the way it works. You don't get into the wedding if you hadn't been invited by the bride or the bridegroom and the family in the first place, especially not to be one of the main representatives, such as a bridesmaid. So how did the bridesmaids, all 10 of them, the wise and the foolish, come to be bridesmaids in the first place? They were invited, called, asked by the bridegroom. So that's where we start. They were all equally invited and equally participating. Some, due to their negligence, excluded themselves based on their lack of preparation. They did nothing to get there in the first place, but some excluded themselves. And I think that's actually a pretty fair picture of how we do understand that salvation works as to why some are saved and not others.
Ryan, with about a minute and a half before we go to our first break here, lay a little bit of the context for us in Matthew's 25th chapter.
Sure. We are dealing with Holy Week, and most people think this is on Tuesday of Holy Week. So Jesus has processed into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday as we think about it. He has cleansed the temple, and on this day is a full day of teaching of various groups. And when we catch up with him in this chapter, where he is he has left the temple. He had done some wrangling with the Pharisees and the Sadducees there. And as he is leaving the temple and looking opposite, his disciples point out how wonderful the temple is and the stones are. And this comes on a long series of discussion of the end of time. Because he talks about how the temple will not stand. His disciples are like, well, when will this be? And we've had some of those discussions, but now he gets into talking to them about preparedness for the end of time. And there's actually a series of parables here, one about a faithful servant, which is the same word there in the Greek as there is here with the faithful or the wise virgins. And then he has the parable of the talents. They're all kind of a series together, and then he finally gets into the judgment of the sheep and goats. And so there is a whole preparedness theme running through this whole section. People were not prepared when Jesus came. The kingdom came with him. And there were people that were looking for it and were waiting for it. I would say Mary would be one of those, Simeon, Simon, and others, but not everybody. Almost kind of a hint of disappointment there. But he is coming again, and they need to be prepared, and there's a long haul to deal with. As we see, they will all fall asleep here for waiting at the time. So this comes right in Holy Week, and we find ourselves at the end of the church year, right back where the origin of the church year finds itself, in the death and resurrection of Christ.
Pastor Ryan Fairman is our guest, along with Pastor Kurt Clayton, our Pastor's Roundtable on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 20th. We're looking at Matthew 25, the first 13 verses, the parable of the 10 virgins. Feel free to give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. We're giving away the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best questions or comments. You can also leave a question or comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our Pastor's Roundtable. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Kirk Clayton, Pastor Ryan Fairman. Okay, let's just lay this one on the table, and then perhaps we can, through just some kind of simple application of reason, leave the question behind once and for all, because the big question is always on this, Pastor Clayton. What's the oil stand for? Now, I've struggled with this as a preacher and a pastor for a long time. I've never heard a satisfactory description that encompasses two things. What you said before the break, which is these are all virgin bridesmaids. They have all been invited. That is not in question. Whether they make it in is another question. And so that we cannot say some of these are the heathen or something like that. It just doesn't fit the context of the coming of the Son of Man. And also the other circumstance, which is every explanation I've ever heard for what the oil is always puts this parable back on me. Some characteristic in me, some quality in me, some effort or work in me that I have to have on hand when Jesus shows up or I won't get in. So what's your best explanation for the oil?
I have no idea what the oil is. because the problem is, exactly as you say, if you try to nail something down as being the oil, and frankly, I think probably all pastors have been there at some point. You look at this text for the end of the church year, and you say, oh, well, let's try running this through with, you know, pick your topic as the oil. And you preach that sermon and then you look back, you know, a few months or coming up on the next year later and thought, you know what? That kind of ended up in works righteousness. That just didn't work. And you try something else, try something else, try something else. Because the problem is, if there's something you have to have, and you can have it by better preparation, as the five wise virgins take extra oil along with them, then there's something you can do to be prepared for that oil. As opposed to the five foolish virgins, well, you don't want to be in their shape because you didn't do something. You forgot to do something. And as you said, it points the parable directly back on you and makes it work righteousness. Now, probably the best way to go then is, as you and I were talking about during the break, you simply say the oil is not something we're going to nail down. The oil simply is a method that Jesus uses to move the story along to establish a distinction. It's not something that we tangibly translate into practice. It simply is a plot element of the parable that has to be there to advance the story, and we don't assign a characteristic to it.
So in other words, it's as a wiser pastor than I have said, the oil is a plot device that gets the foolish virgins off the stage when the bridegroom comes so that they can show up after the door has been closed.
Yes, and I would say that happens very frequently in many parables. We did a parables Bible study at Zion over the summer, and each parable that we looked at, I would have the class list all of the elements they see in the parable, and then we'd say which ones are significant theologically and which ones are just there to move the story along, because that always happens. In every parable, you can push too hard and end up in some really really scary places doctrinally. You have to be able to sort and say, this transfers, This is simply a plot element that goes away. And I think the oil simply is a plot element that goes away. It gets the foolish virgins off the stage where Jesus wants them to be. It allows the wise virgins to be welcomed into the banquet hall where Jesus wants them to be. But the oil itself is not something that we can say you have to have today in the 21st century in case Jesus shows up. And if you don't have, say, enough faith or enough time in the Bible study or enough times receiving the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, whatever it is, if you don't have enough of that, then you're a foolish virgin. That puts it back on you and makes the parable one of works righteousness.
Pastor Fairman, with that laid aside, we still have to deal with the issue, the distinction that Jesus himself makes between the five and the five, and that is five are wise, five are foolish. What does Jesus mean when he characterizes them that way?
It's kind of fun in the Greek with the foolish, because it's our word we derive moron from. These girls are not thinking people. They do silly things. Now, it starts off, really, I think, with the waiting, that they look a little bit more wise, because they're not going to carry around with them this heavy bottle of oil. They're coming for the evening. They're going to be there. They're expecting things to get going. And the other girls are dragging along this extra bottle with them, kind of hinders their fun. But by the end, we find out that the ones, at least in the world, that are svelte and ready to go are the ones that are foolish. And the ones that are wise seem to be burdened earlier in the night are the ones actually ready for the bridegroom to come. It's interesting what Pastor Clayton said. Is very good advice, and it's very old advice. And I quote John Chrysostom on that. An early church father said, don't overwork the details of the parable when you get down to it. Let it have its meaning that Jesus wants. And for us, the advantage here is Jesus actually supplies the meaning of the parable. But since the images are so fraught all over Scripture, oil and lamps and bridegrooms and stuff, and there's tons of verses that talk about things like this, but what Jesus says is that this is a parable about being prepared. Watch, therefore, because you don't know the time that he's coming. And really, while we look towards the end times for those sorts of things, the time that you're going to meet your Maker is going to be at the hour of your death. And so to watch and to be prepared is an important thing, and Jesus wants to make sure his disciples know that. And those who are prepared, and that's as far as we have to take it, in a sense, if you're worried that you're not prepared, you're probably in good company that you are prepared. It's the people that don't care that are going to have the problem.
And again, maybe just to hone in here, the parable speaks to people who have been called. The bridesmaids have been invited to participate in this way. And so being prepared is not something particularly that we are doing. We have already been given the invitation. We've already been included in the celebration. We cannot make ourselves more ready for the celebration. We can only continue in this grace that we've been given. The alternative is not being prepared of our own accord. The alternative is rejecting the gift that we've given by intentionally falling away. So the context we need to remember is this is to those who have already been invited. The grace, the gift has already been given. You can't do more to get the gift. You can only lose it.
So in the world of the parable, when the bridegroom comes back, Pastor Fairman, it is not as though he finds 10 virgins. Some have big bags of oil, and he says, you got oil. You get to go in, and you don't get to come in. When the bridegroom comes back, he only finds 5 virgins waiting for him. The rest are someplace else doing something else. Is that kind of the point? The basic
it's kind
point
of funny here? In that way, because when you think about where are they going to get access and interest or entrance into this, they should have waited around. They are foolish. They left in that time. And, of course, again, there's a call here that there is a patience and there is a hopeful waiting that takes place in a Christian's life throughout for the coming of the Lord. We don't know when he's going to come. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when the second advent will be. But yes, the other ones have wandered off foolishly. They should have stayed and waited.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the fact that all of the virgins, whether they were foolish or wise, fell asleep. Now that has to mean something. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. It's our Pastor's Roundtable on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 20th. Issues, etc., regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, is author of our Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, etc., Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life.
Coming Friday, November 22nd, and Saturday, November 23rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 11 in the morning Central Time on November the 22nd through 11 in the morning Central on November 23rd. Issues Etc. 24. Friday, November 22nd, and Saturday, November 23rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation. Including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Zion, hears the watchman sing.
The second stanza of the hymn, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. We're talking about the parable upon which that hymn is based. The parable of the 10 virgins, our pastor's roundtable. Pastor Kirk Clayton, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Muscoda, Illinois. Pastor Ryan Fairman, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Paris, Illinois. And these virgins are trying to stay awake, but they fail. Speaking of trying to stay awake, Issues Etc. 24 is coming up. We're not going to try. We're going to have to succeed. We have no choice. But along with our guests, 12 of them, over two-hour blocks of 24 hours of live Issues Etc., we're going to be dealing with, I dare say, we're going to try and do 3 psalms per 2 hours over 12 times so that, my math doesn't even work when I'm wide awake, at least 36 psalms. And dealing with the major themes of the Psalms over 24 hours of Issues Etc. 24 this very Friday, November the 22nd, beginning at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time, running until Saturday, the 23rd of November, 11 a.m. Central Time. Our guests include Dr. Carl Fakencher, Pastor Will Whedon, Pastor Bill Swirla, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Dr. John Kleinig will join us in the wee hours of the morning. Pastor Peter Bender and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller and more, talking about all the major themes in the Psalms. You can listen live at issuesetc.org. You can also listen on demand, but we encourage you to try and stay awake with us during Issues Etc. 24. Listen live at issuesetc.org beginning Friday, November the 22nd at 11 a.m. Central. Issues Etc. 24. Okay, let's talk about the fact that they fall asleep. Is this necessarily a bad thing, Pastor Clayton, that all 10, wise and foolish, it gets late? They get drowsy, and it says they slumber.
I think in general we would say, yes, it's a bad thing. It would have been better if they had been awake and watching for the bridegroom. Jesus, as Pastor Fairman says in other parables, gives the clarion call, be watchful, be ready, be prepared. So I don't think it's necessarily a badge of honor that they fall asleep. I think this is a bad thing. However, for us as miserable sinners, it is a comforting thing because all 10 fall asleep. The 5 wise fall asleep too. They fail also, and they are welcomed into the presence of the bridegroom and the wedding banquet. It's not based on what they have done or failed to do, whether they make it or not. They have all failed in this way. They've all fallen asleep, and all would have been received into the banquet hall strictly by the grace and invitation of the bridegroom.
Pastor Fairman, is it possible that this slumber of the wise and foolish virgins is intended to stand in for death? That is, since Christ's return, there is a general resurrection. Could it be that Jesus is essentially saying, of those that I'm talking about here, they all died?
That's certainly not an idea that's foreign to Scripture, especially in Paul's writings that talks about death as a sleep for Christians. And sometimes I lean upon that theme at funerals and so forth, that will be called awake. In fact, in Thessalonians, Paul talks about the loud sound, the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will awake. And so I don't think that would be out of bounds to talk about it in that way. And so while we can look at it, as Pastor Clayton said, as they kind of all did fail on being watchful, in another way, we are all going to fall asleep, and Christ will return, and we will awaken. Our bodies will, and there's the general resurrection. And the good news, I guess, there is that those who are prepared before are going to be ready for his coming again.
The cry goes up, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. They all get up and trim their lamps. The foolish say, give us some of your oil. The wise say, if we give you some of our oil, there won't be enough for both of us. And again, here we are in the world of plot devices, because it kind of sounds like these virgins are saying, go and fend for yourself, every man for himself at the end of time. Again, another plot device. But the weird thing, Pastor Clayton, is with the bridegroom right around the corner, the foolish virgins go to the store.
In the middle of the night, when what store is going to be open exactly? Yeah. Again, this commonly happens in parables, that there's something that just kind of smacks you upside the head of, that's weird. And you just have to kind of take it and say, okay, that's a plot device, set it aside. Another example that came out in the Bible study we did over the summer was the shepherd leaving the 99 sheep in the open country and going to find one. And we had a farmer in the congregation said, that's stupid. If you lose one out of nine, lose one out of 100, protect the 99 and cut your losses, which is great business sense. But I think that, you know, yeah, it's odd to think that you could find oil in the middle of the night. Perhaps the wiser advice would have been, you know, instead of for the foolish to say, give us some of your oil so that we can look prepared, although we're not, and for the wise to say, no, we're going to keep our own preparations and you can't have them, perhaps the better part of wisdom is to say, you know what? Why don't you just stick around and see if the bridegroom, out of his gracious mercy, would allow you to accompany them even if your lamps go out? We know the bridegroom. I'm pretty sure he would have said yes.
So that is to speak to the person who says, it's too late for me.
It's not.
Pastor Fairman, the return of the bridegroom, and it says, they enter into, what does it say there? The bridegroom came and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. Mm-hmm. What is that in, not in the world of the parable, but what is that in the world that Jesus is talking about?
There's always a little grain of salt to be taken with some of our historical knowledge of the time. But what I have read is generally the way the weddings would play out is that the groom's house would be where these virgins are. And the groom and his party would go to the bride's house, and there would be preparations there, and he would gather her, and they would ride if they had conveyance or so forth, all through the town, weaving through the town, as taking as long as they can so everyone can celebrate and hurrah them. We kind of still do this today. Often the bridal party will drive around the night before, sometimes hitting bars, sometimes just drive around having a good time together so everyone can celebrate with them. But eventually they get back to the groom's house. This is where he is taking his bride. And then they go in and they have the celebration. It's one big party. The sad part about not being prepared and not watching is not because it's like you have to be scared, but you're going to miss out on something so good. It is amazing to me that they do leave, as Pastor Clayton says, not only because they should stay and see if he's going to give them entrance, but this shows their character of unpreparedness from the very beginning. They don't take the extra oil with them. They are not ready. They don't understand the bridegroom and how he operates. When a time comes and he's coming around the corner, they still don't understand the character of the bridegroom, and so they wander off. But coming into that is the big wedding, is the big party, and Jesus uses that description of a marriage feast to describe the great consummation of the final coming of Christ, the coming into the kingdom, eternal life with God, which is not some long, boring church service, but actually a wonderful wedding celebration.
I noticed Pastor Fairman did not use the word heaven in his description of what the wedding banquet stands for. And oftentimes, we tend to think, oh, we die, Jesus comes again, and we go to heaven. And, of course, there's the great cultural problem that we get our wings and become angels and flutter around the clouds and strum harps and things like that, which, frankly, does sound a little bit boring. And I love music. I love harp music. It's great. But it just seems like a strange way to spend all of eternity. Whereas Scripture tends to describe eternal life, which is, I think, the term that Pastor Fairman used, in terms of earthly parties, a wedding banquet. I love being at banquets. I love lots of food. I love the friendship. I love the conversation. I love everything that goes on at a feast like this. Look at the picture that will be posted afterwards. You'll see that I like feasts. And if eternity is a feast of the very finest of foods, and that's one thing about a wedding feast in the first century or in the ancient world, you would bring out the best food that you had for a wedding banquet.
It wasn't rubber chicken and fish.
Right, yeah. And this is the king. You're going to have the most splendid, the most flavorful, the most exotic foods, and for eternity, the host of the feast is none other than the king, God himself. And so we have a tremendous banquet to look forward to. let's not run away based on thinking that we need to provide something ourselves for this. Rely on the grace of the bridegroom and enjoy this tremendous feast forevermore.
Well, you just said something that I want to pick up on the other side of the break. And maybe it gets to the real heart of why, in the end, they are shut out. Because it seems as though the foolish virgins are convinced that somehow the oil is going to get them in. They have to have it. They have to bring something with them. When it appears they don't. Stay tuned.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Folks, there are 6 weeks left in 2013, and we're $90,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2013.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Now let
final stanza of the hymn, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. 10 more minutes in our pastor's round table, talking about the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, the first 13 verses. Pastor Kirk Clayton and Pastor Ryan Fairman are our guests. The listener with the best question or comment in the next 10 minutes will receive the Lutheran Study Bible. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. It's Wednesday afternoon, November the 20th. We're coming to you live. 1-877-623-6943. Our Facebook fan page where you can leave a question or a comment, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address @issuesetc. Pastor Fairman, can we say at least this much about the foolish virgins? And that is, that they are under the mistaken notion that they're not getting in without the oil, or that they somehow have to have this oil to meet the bridegroom's approval.
Well, I'm okay with assigning stuff to the oil as long as we're not hard and fast about it. I don't mind saying that the oil is faith, but where does faith come from? It comes from God. It's the gift of God. I don't mind saying it's regeneration. Where does that come from? It's the gift of God. But see, that's the whole thing. They're looking for oil other places. They're not prepared. They're the ones that chose not to bring it along in the first place. And they sit there and they trim their wicks, and that would be a better picture of works, I think, is the lamps that they take and the wicks, and they're doing all their little things with those wicks, but they're not going to keep them lit without having Christ already there. And so the guy to look for and to go search for is the bridegroom that's coming. So, yeah, in a roundabout way, I could say what you're saying is that they should have stuck around, because that's where they're going to find what they need. They're foolish in thinking that they can procure what they need on their own.
So the door is shut, just to get through the parable, and then we'll get to our listeners' questions. The door is shut. Then afterward, the five foolish virgins show up. They knock, "Lord, open to us." His response, this has got to be an understatement of the universe. "I do not know you." And then Jesus' warning is, "Truly I say to you, watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour." What are your thoughts there on that, the last sequence there, Pastor Clayton?
That's absolutely heartbreaking. When someone has, so perhaps anticipated and look forward to participating, and then literally have the door slammed in their face with the words, "I don't know you." And yet the reason that they're not known and not recognized is because they didn't rely on the goodness of the bridegroom to be there in the first place. And this is a dire warning. I don't know there's any way they can slice or dice this. This is a dire warning that there are those who will have the door slammed in their face. If they are relying on being able to buy their oil when they want to and do what they want to when they want to, they are going to have the door slammed in their face. And we just need to leave it where Jesus does. Don't be in that position.
A couple of questions from our listeners. This first one comes from Susan right on that point, and I think we need to permit that because Jesus doesn't give us an explanation of the oil, we are free to either assign it a meaning or to say, look, it's just a plot device. But Susan asks this. She says, "I'm listening to the discussion today, and I am perplexed. Why isn't the entrance into the wedding feast or heaven, our God-given faith, the oil? That's what I always thought. The foolish ones let their faith die, go out. I see it differently. You are saying that the five foolish ones are still trying to do something to enter the feast. Is that correct? I never thought of it that way." Let's get both of your thoughts on that. First, Pastor Fairman.
I think that's a fair assessment, because you can't do anything to get into the feast. And even if you want to assign faith to the oil, which is fine, there's Luther. You're in good company with Luther with that. That is not given to you. If it's your work, it's something that is Christ given to you, and so you start out with it already. I mean, there's plenty of pictures of oil as the Holy Spirit in Scripture, and of course, who is the one that has the Spirit? The Messiah, the Anointed One, and so you're going to get your oil from Him, not by your own effort. And I think that's a fair point that she makes. Now, the not letting it go out and all this kind of stuff is already. If you're worried about that, it hasn't. The foolish ones are the ones that are not concerned about that, but they're going to make it up at the end. You know, they'll do something or whatever they're going to have instead of relying upon the bridegroom, who they apparently don't quite understand.
Go ahead.
And I would just mention that, I don't really have any qualms with saying that faith is the oil. I'm just not going to nail it down 100%. But the challenge is this. The way that you misread it then goes like this. I get in because I thought ahead and I brought extra oil. So to translate into faith, I have done something to strengthen my faith. I have banked up extra time in church, extra reception of the sacrament, extra time in God's word, and I have done something to make sure my faith is stronger, as if faith is something that I do. And that's the common misperception, is that faith is what we do after God has given us grace, and faith is our work. And that's the danger of running with faith as the oil. Now, if we understand it properly, okay, I'm not going to, you know, have a big problem with that. But the problem is when faith becomes the oil, and if we do more, we get more oil, and we can provide a longer lifespan of our oil, then this parable becomes works righteousness.
Kyle in Irvine, California has this question. Is it significant that even the wise virgins who were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom became drowsy and fell asleep also? Why was this detail added when the fact that they brought additional oil indicates that they were aware that the bridegroom might be a long time in coming? How should we apply this today? Pastor Femin, it's pretty clear there that Jesus says the bridegroom was delayed. It did take a long time. What are your thoughts on Kyle's question?
Well, it has taken a long time. In our viewpoint, you know, it's been 2,000 years. There is a temptation, and there is a weariness that comes with waiting. Jesus says, "Watch." The thing, the good news there, and like I said, I kind of do like taking that as death, as Paul does in other places, is that while we may grow tired and weary, that we are not left out if we are watchful and prepared, and it's not. Again, what we're doing, he doesn't leave us out. He's the one that gives us faith. Or, salvation unto us has come. Faith alone justifies. Works serve our neighbor and supply the proof that faith is living. And so here, they have been prepared and prepared rightly because they anticipate the bridegroom. They have the invitation, as Pastor Clayton had said. And so the falling asleep, the weariness comes with normal life. There are people that are familiar with that kind of feeling, especially sometimes in the working of God. But he is not slow as we count slowness, but rather he is desiring that all should come to him.
With only 30 seconds here, Pastor Clayton, is the good news, drawing upon the rest of Scripture, even better than this parable might make it out to be? Are we, in fact, going to get into the wedding feast only as bridesmaids?
Well, the big unspoken point of the parable is, if there's a wedding and a bridegroom, there's a bride. And Scripture paints us actually not as, and with, 27 dresses or whatever, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. We are the one that Jesus loves. We are the one that Jesus calls to be his own forevermore, not just as the watchers on the sidelines, but as the guest of honor at the feast. Frankly, it doesn't come out in the parable, but elsewhere in Scripture we see we're not the bridesmaids at all. We're the bride.
Kyle in Irvine, California, if you'd send your mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org, we will send you the Lutheran Study Bible. Pastor Kirk Clayton is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Muscoda, Illinois. Kirk, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Pastor Ryan Fairman is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Paris, Illinois. Ryan, thank you very much.
Thank you. Always a great time to talk about God's Word.
Folks, if you enjoy our weekly pastors' roundtables and the Bible study that they provide, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Remember, no gift is too small. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make a financial contribution by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. Send it to Issues, etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues, etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we will send you a CD of two sermons that I've preached, one on the birth of Christ and the other on the conversion of Paul. Now, we're currently $90,000 short of making our budget this year with 6 weeks left to go in the year. So thanks for listening and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of 2013. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll conclude our series with Pastor Will Whedon on the Liturgy of Holy Matrimony. We'll get through the rest of the marriage ceremony there. That's appropriate of our conversation here today. That'll be tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Well, it's true. What awaits us is a marriage feast, a joyful celebration to which we have been invited graciously, freely, without any conditions whatsoever. And the good news is that when we enter that marriage hall, we enter as the honored guest, the bride. You wouldn't throw a wedding without inviting the bride, would you? No, of course not. And the bridegroom is coming. He anxiously desires to bring us in to the wedding hall for that feast. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.